From Cambodia to Vietnam. October 1979. I return to Phnom Penh on the back of Meng's bike, my heart beating wildly as I absorb the sights and sounds of the city. Nothing looks the way I remember it. The buildings are charred from fires and their walls riddled with bullet holes. The streets are covered with litter and filled with cavernous potholes. There are many bicycles and cyclos, but few trucks. Gone are the tall, leafy, lustrous-flowered trees that lined the wide boulevards. Instead, tall brown palms and coconut trees provide little shade for the dry, crumbling city. Though the palm trees are heavy with fruit, I see no people climbing to get it. People say the Khmer Rouge buried corpses next to them, and now the palm milk is pink like thin blood, and the fruit tastes like human flesh. Makeshift tents, no longer confined to the poor areas, sprout all over the city. There are people living everywhere, in alleys, in streets, in crumbling buildings and tents. Many are farmers and rural villagers. They moved to the city to look for work because their land is littered with landmines. They come to Phnom Penh to escape the Khmer Rouge, who still control parts of the countryside. They arrive and take up residence in the deserted homes. The memory of our life here comes flooding back to me. "Eldest brother," I call out to Meng. In the Chinese culture, young children never call their elder siblings by name, as it is considered improper and disrespectful. "Eldest brother, will you show me our old house?"
"It's not what it used to be. It is broken down with bullet holes everywhere. But we will go there,"
he answers, and continues peddling. He tells me that he went to see it when he came through the city with Yung and her sister on their way to Vietnam. He says someone is living in our apartment now. There are no documents kept on people's property from before the takeover in 1975, so whoever arrived first and set up residence in houses or apartments can claim them as theirs. He says it is no longer our home. Still, I want to see the place where I remember feeling joy and happiness. I want to ask him more about our former home, but Meng is quiet now, lost in his own thoughts. The stench of the city and its trash seeps into my nose, making me want to pinch it, but I do not. Instead, I hold on tight to Meng as he steers the bike abruptly left and right to avoid the holes in the road. We arrive at the waterport late in the afternoon, but the sun is still hot and beats down on us. Meng holds the bike for me to jump off and tells me to stay where I am as he disappears into a crowd of people with his bike. Vendors yell out their products to people passing by. In the sun, the fish scales on the seafood vendors' arms and faces sparkle and shimmer, reflecting the sunlight. On the rows of tables, big and small fish alike flap their tails on blocks of ice underneath them. It is October, the end of the rainy season and start of the dry season.